Imagine this with me. Your child is making a gift for you.
I'm making something for my mommy and my daddy.
Mm-hmm. And he appears to be having so much fun. Are you having fun?
Uh-huh.
It's really pretty. What else are you going to put on it?
I'm going to put some wheels on it.
Ooh, that's really nice. So in that way, it'll be able to roll around too, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to put some flowers and stuff on it, too. Ooh,
flowers and wheels?
Yeah.
I bet your parents are really going to enjoy that.
And then I'm going to put some bells.
Bells, huh?
On it so that it'll ring and everything.
Flowers and bells and wheels?
Mm-hmm.
That's really going to be special. Your parents are really going to be excited by that gift.
Yeah.
When are you going to give it to them?
I'm gonna give it to him for Christmas.
Gonna give it to you for Christmas. And so your child makes that beautiful gift, polishes it up, and then wraps it and puts a nice little shiny bow on it. And on Christmas Day, extends it to you with his heart in his hands, wrapped in that little gift. And then you say,
I don't want that stupid thing. I don't have time for it. I didn't ask for it. Plus, it doesn't fit in my schedule. It doesn't work with what I do. Just put it somewhere and forget about it.
I don't have time for that stupid thing. It doesn't fit in my schedule. Forget about it. Can you imagine how heartbroken your child would be? The sadness that would go across their countenance? When you rejected a gift that they had worked so hard on, that they extended to you in love, and that they had proudly prepared just for you. I don't want that stupid thing, you say. Now magnify that a few thousand times and ask yourself, how might God feel if he made something specifically for you, but you told him, I don't have time for that stupid thing? Well, that may have been what you said in the past, but today, we want to introduce you to the rest of your story. Hi, this is Nick Taliaferro here to remind you gently that every life has a narrative, and every narrative tells a story, and every story requires rest. Welcome to The Rest of Your Story, an outreach ministry of Message Magazine. We want to remind you that God has created an opportunity for you to rest. In fact, we're told that the first thing that God did for humankind was give to them something that was especially made for them, tailored for their needs, making it fit exactly for what they required. But before we discuss that further, allow me to provide an invitation to you that invites you into the presence of the one who loves you more than anyone. The words say, draw me nearer. Welcome to the rest of your story. Soul faints for your embrace. That's Rhema Praise and Worship out of Toronto, Canada, plaintively pleading and asking, draw me nearer, from their album, The Experience. Great music and a great message, draw me nearer. You know, being drawn nearer to God is a sublime privilege that I don't think anyone in their right minds would want to miss. We all like being invited to important things where there are important people. And to be invited into the presence of God is a privilege that is greater than any that could be imagined. My mind goes back to the first time that God invited mankind, humankind, into the presence of God. It starts in the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we are told that God created the heavens and the earth in only 6 days. Many people say, God made the heaven and the earth in 7 days, but no, it only took 6 days. It says that after the sixth day, everything was made, all of the heavens and the earth, and the entire host of them. I can almost imagine, and allow me to use my imagination, if you would, God finishing on the sixth day. Everything is pristine and perfect. The angels are standing by looking with awe and wonder, filled with joy as humankind raises itself from the dust from which it was formed. Eve stands next to Adam and Adam stands next to God. Things are absolutely perfect. And the angels are ready to go now because the work is done. It took only 6 days to complete the entire task. But God pauses the angels and says, wait a minute. I need another day. God makes another day and the angels are watching. They must be filled now with a sense of not only astonishment, but also with a sense of rapt wonder. What will God do next? After all, look at what he did in the first sixth. Every day introduced something greater. What will he do on this seventh day? And they waited and they watched, and the seventh day came, and God made exactly nothing. He made nothing, or so it appeared that he made nothing, because the truth of the matter is that God designed his greatest gift on the seventh day. Don't judge a book by its cover. Because you can't see something doesn't mean that something doesn't exist. Look out right now, your window, look out, and you will not see anything, but air is there. You don't believe that it's important and powerful? Let a hurricane come, and what you can't see can destroy you. On the seventh day, God made something especially tailored for man and woman. He made time and invited man and woman, Adam and Eve, to be drawn into sacred space with him, a cathedral of time. God makes it and invites Adam and Eve into it, and he gives them rest. Now, many people think that the Sabbath is something that God made for himself because God rested on the Sabbath. But think about this. God did not need rest because the Almighty does not get tired, neither does he get weary. God doesn't need a hassock. He doesn't have to put his feet up. God doesn't need a masseuse. He doesn't get sore from the work that he does. God does not need refreshing. He does not get weary. Why did God make the Sabbath? Well, we are told why. In the book of Mark, the second chapter and the 27th verse, God upends the paradigm of religion of the leaders of his day when he tells the Pharisees, "For the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." In other words, even though God calls it his Sabbath, he actually made it for humankind. He made this time for you. God made time for you. He didn't need a seventh day for himself. He crafted it, shaped it, tailored it for you. This is specially made for you and for me. And then God extends it to us. And what do we say to God?
I don't want that stupid thing. I don't have time for it. I didn't ask for it. Plus, it doesn't fit in my schedule. It doesn't work with what I do. Just put it somewhere.
Yeah. It seems we have a lot of reasons why we don't have time for the time that God made for us. I've always wondered about that commandment where God says, remember the Sabbath day. Who needs to remember to take a break? Why do we have to be told that we need to rest? Why is it so hard to accept the gift of Sabbath?
Now, really, who doesn't want a day off of work?
Reverend Kathy Zappa of St. Philip's Cathedral in Atlanta, Georgia, talking about why Sabbath keeping is so difficult an idea today.
Why is it so hard for us to accept the Sabbath gift of rest and freedom?
That's a great question, followed by some even better answers.
Well, there's fear. That plays a pretty big part. Fear of that emptiness that Frankl talks about. There's also fear of missing out or falling behind, losing your competitive edge. There's fear of what you might hear or feel if you slow down long enough to pay attention. And there's fear of what you may find or not find beneath all of those activities and all of those masks that you wear.
So one of the reasons is that we're afraid to stop, afraid of what we'll find or what we may not find in the presence of God when we slow down. But she goes further.
There's also pride. Pride has a role to play here as well. Pride tells us that we are just too important, too indispensable to really unplug, that the world itself could not go on without us holding it up and steering it in the right direction.
Wow. Maybe we might think a little too highly of ourselves than we ought. When we think about God's creative power and what he did at the beginning, it should allow us to say to ourselves, you know what? God does not need us to make the world run, and perhaps we can let go of all of the things that we think require our absolute 100% 24/7 attention. At least that's what we ought to do. But it goes further than that. Not only do fear and pride stop us from receiving the gift that God extends, but by not receiving the gift that God extends, we are failing to celebrate the fact that God has given to us not only our lives, but He has given to us our freedom. According to Pastor Tim Kirk of the Glenkirk Church in Glendora, California, observing the Sabbath reminds us that God has given us liberty, that He has set us free from the tyranny of those things that would enslave us, and through that liberty He has given us freedom.
The word observe is a more active word than remember, suggesting that this commandment involves more than just ceasing from our labor. And God's people are to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy because they remember that they were once slaves in Egypt and God rescued them from their slavery with miracles.
Think about that for just a moment. The seventh day, when God sends it, the Sabbath, it is not something simply to remember, but to observe, to look at it. We watch a God make the world in 6 days, and when I observe that, I remember that there is nothing that God can't do. So I'm not afraid to sit still and to look at the empty spaces or the broken places because God is able to do anything that I might need. And by observing it, I'm recognizing that whatever thing has me tyrannized, whatever thing has me enslaved, whatever thing has broken my freedom, that God can come and set me free. So I come to rest recognizing that whatever I need, God has already done. But more importantly, whatever has me bound, God can set me free from. So when I come to rest at the end of the week, when I celebrate the gift that God has designed especially for me, I am remembering to let go of my fear and my pride because everything I need, God has already done. And I am coming to rest secure in knowing that God can rescue me from anything that will attempt to enslave me in reality. When I come to rest in God, when I accept His gift, I realize for the first time in the week that I am safe in His presence, safe in His arms, that I am safe with the God who has secured me through miracles, through power. Nothing can hurt me, nothing can harm me when I am in the presence of one who, through His creative and redemptive power, keeps me safe from all harm.
If I lose my life, I will find again. I will soar on eagle's wings and then ever cease from war, rest in Jesus' arms. For the Lord, He's good, and I am safe from harm. It's the Lord that gives, heard the prophets say, and I will bless His name, though He takes away. I will trust and not fear, not to be alarmed, for the Lord, He's good, and I am safe from harm. I'm safe, I'm safe, in the eye of the storm there's calm. For the Lord, He's good, my soul is safe from harm. In swear, and my strength has stalled. I will still believe when his name I call. He will rescue me, for dust turns to dawn. For the Lord, he's good, and I am safe from harm. I'm safe, I'm safe. In the eye of the storm, there's calm. For the Lord, he's good. For the Lord, he's good. For the Lord, he's good. My soul is safe from harm.
For the Lord, he is good, and I am safe from harm. The incomparable B.B. Winans, in a moving testimony, the song Safe from Harm. God invites us into his presence and extends to us a gift of resting. It was the first thing that he gave to man. With hands outstretched and with a heart of love, he says, "Here, take this. You're going to need this for your journey. I don't need rest, but you will. And I am giving you this rest not based upon what you've accomplished or what you've achieved or what you've acquired or what you have the power to do in the future. I am giving you this rest based on what I have done. And should you be taken captive by things beyond your power, I know that I can do what needs to be done to set you free. So here, rest. This is the rest of your story." But there's another facet to this gift giving by God, this largesse that God extends to us by saying, "Here, take this rest." And that is the gift in knowing that God made time for us. You know, our wives, our girlfriends, the women in our lives, if you're a man, will tell you that there's nothing more important than time, quality time, and that when someone makes time for you, it is the currency that is expressive of their love. The great poet Maya Angelou, in speaking with her friend Oprah Winfrey, was moved to tears when she talked about the fact that God loved her. She said that she quoted the statement several times, that God loves me. But rather than me tell you, let's listen to her in her own words.
And finally, I said, "God loves me." It still humbles me that this force, which made leaves and fleas and stars and rivers and you, loves me. Me, Maya Angelou. It's amazing. I can do anything and do it well. Any good thing, I can do it. That's why I am who I am. Yes, because God loves me, and I'm amazed at it and grateful for it.
And grateful for the fact that God loves me. So he prepares for me and extends to me a rest that only he can give. And God loves you, and with outstretched arms, at the end of your week, he says, "Your story now is in my hands. Let me give you rest that will allow you to refresh and restore." The question is, will fear and pride prevent you from observing the fact that God, through his creative and redemptive power, is able to secure you and to give you rest and peace? I hope that you are able to let it all go. Let the world fall from your shoulders like a heavy garment, and be secure in the rest that only God can give. We'd like to thank all of the contributors to today's program, and we hope that you have found a little rest for your story. We remind you that the rest of your story is a part of the outreach ministry of Message Magazine, the oldest continuously published African-American religious journal in the nation. Our theme music is He Gives Me Peace by Alan Clayton. And on behalf of all of your friends at Message Magazine, I'm your host, Nick Taliaferro, for the rest of your story. I'll see you here at the end of next week. And until then, I wish for you His peace. Take care, everyone.